Thank you for joining us for another Super Is Natural in the Kingdom of God with Corey Pritchard, where our goal is to help you assimilate into the Kingdom of God so that super can become natural in the Kingdom of God. And I'm going to share some things with you. I actually woke up this morning and last night I actually had a number of things that were just rolling through my mind. So I woke up and I actually just sent myself a text, which is weird. So I'm just going to be a lot more transparent than I ever have been. But when I get things that I know that are notable, specifically things I know that are not of me, right? They're not from me, that they're things that God is speaking to me. Then I will go ahead and I'll just put that in the text. So if you haven't had this experience before, many of the things, really all for me, of the things that I get or hear, it sounds like me. Like, it's not like I'm hearing some booming, you know, voice, or I see some kind of light shining, or some, you know, thing that goes off that says this is God talking or something like that. But it's a reality that when I'm hearing some things or seeing things that I've never seen before, never heard, and I know that they're just much higher than my pay grade, I'll say it that way. Then I make a note, right? And I just flow with it. I myself personally, I spend a lot of times journaling. Over the years, I spent a lot of time journaling. One reason I started to journal was I didn't want to drive my wife bananas, to be honest with you. I realize I have a lot of things, and I get things all day, every day. So I didn't want to continue to try to come to her and expect her to be able to understand it or be able to, you know, make the time to be able to hear it out. Like, I have times, and she's told me about that, where I talk way too much, right? So I'm working on that, right? I want to make sure I'm getting to the point as much as I can. So in order not to burden her any more than I needed to, then I started to journal. So I began to journal. So what I found is that in my journaling, it has really given me an opportunity to be able to get my thinking or reasoning out, to be able to grasp what it is that I believe that God has said. And the experience that I could articulate, if I can, it's like me downloading. So if you think of a computer or software, then it's downloading, right? So I'm downloading it so that I can have it and make it available. But then when I need it or when the time comes, now I'm uploading it. So many times, like now, when I'm sharing information or if I go out and talk in public, then I'm not sharing new things that I'm receiving right at that moment, right? These are things that I have received, and it's been downloaded over the years, sometimes recently, sometimes it's been, you know, some time ago. So now I'm uploading it. So what you're hearing is the upload, right, version of what God had downloaded, or I downloaded from God at some point in my life. So if you haven't done anything like that, then I highly encourage that you really lock into developing a deep relationship. And that alone is not my relationship with God. Like, I have to still decide that I want to invest private time to be able to sit and listen and to be open and available to whatever God is saying or doing, like all those types of things. And if we're not careful, what we could do is we could live from revelation to revelation, right? Because God is always speaking to us. So we could think that is our relationship with God, and not really spend time to praise and worship and just listen to God and, you know, those types of things. So don't be mistaken, right? Don't sell yourself short. If you are hearing things that you know that are of God, first of all, prove them, right? So just because you heard it doesn't mean that you heard it fully, right? Or even correctly. So what I would suggest that you do is that whatever it is that you're getting, you always prove it in the Word of God, right? Allow the Spirit of God to help prove it and make sure that we received it correctly. Sometimes I've misheard some stuff, right? Or I didn't hear it fully or didn't hear it correctly. So it's in going back and to prove it or reprove it that I'm able to, you know, make sure that I got it the way that God intended for me to get it. And that's always just pieces, right? I don't get all of it. So I can get a revelation today, and then God can add to that and add to that and add to that, add to that. And he's done that, or expand it. Let me see it deeper, wider, broader, clearer, all of those things. So with that being said, all we can do is share, you know, what we have at that moment, and expect that once you sow that seed and share it, you're going to get some increase, right? You'll see it in a deeper, broader, more clearer way after you've shared it. And I think that's the benefit that we have with each other, because when we share that information, yes, you know, the hearer can actually benefit. But me as the sower or the sayer, I also have a deeper benefit. So With that being said, here's what I want to make sure I articulate today. So again, we're still in faith, right? Still in faith. And I may have mentioned this before, but I want to make sure I'm very specific about this. But if you haven't had an experience where you have converted to the kingdom of God, where you have repented in response to the kingdom of God, if you haven't confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you haven't made that opportunity, then I would suggest that you do that, right? If you are a sheep of God and this is something that's resonating with you, follow Jesus, right? Jesus says to his disciples, follow me, right? Follow him. He is our example as a command. That's something that you want to absolutely do, right? There's things I'm going to say and things that go on in life in general that you're just not going to get the most out of if you are not engaging in the process. So my process, as far as the way that I see what Jesus Christ is articulating, is different than what I think most people see. Most people start with Romans 10 and 9, right? And they say, first of all, recognize yourself as a sinner, right? Recognize yourself as headed to hell. Recognize that there is an eternal life that's offered before you. And if you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and see the work that he did as far as sacrificing himself for our sins, and you put the penalty of sin on him and not keep it on yourself, now you can become a renewed being and receive salvation, right? And we more or less leave it at that. Some other denominations may take it a step further and say, you know, once you've done that, then you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Allow the Spirit of God to baptize you and fill you with the evidence of speaking in tongues, right? So that's great. All those things are absolutely true. The reality of it all is that those things are truths, right? And you can find them biblically. You can see that there's a truth. And me, myself, I have seen that work as far as being evidence in my life, and seen that in just about every person that's done any impactful thing, having a similar experience. Yet Jesus Christ did not begin with that. And I know that Jesus Christ was talking to sinners, right? So when he started his ministry, he's speaking to sinners. But you know, who of us does not start with a sinner? Okay, if that makes sense. So yes, he began with sinners, and he could have started with hell, right? He could have started preaching about hell. He could have started preaching about heaven. He could have started preaching about sin, right? Like we do. He could have done that. But he did not. He chose not to. And I know that there's a specific reason. Not only did he not choose to, is that he never commanded his disciples to go out and preach sin. He didn't say go out and preach hell, go out and preach heaven, right? And I'm not saying if you have done that or like me, I've done that, that you're a bad person or anything like that. But I would like for you to consider to prove or reprove what you have been doing and how you've been doing it. Because if we're not following the model, which is Jesus Christ, we're not going to get the results that God desired. Okay. Why is that so important? Right. If I look at Jesus Christ began with kingdom. Right. So the first thing he says as he's comes out of the wilderness, being tempted of the devil, is repent. Right. As a command or opportunity. Right. A command. Repent. Right. So this repent is much deeper than just a response to sin, because he doesn't mention sin. He doesn't say anything about a sinful act. He is giving them the opportunity to change and align with the kingdom of God, right? Align with the kingdom of heaven. The presence of the kingdom of heaven is here. And he's saying, I'm bringing that. It's in me, right? So it's here before you now. So you can respond to it. So your response to the reality of the kingdom of God is at that point is going to determine what your experience is going to be with God. Hope that makes sense. Okay. So each and every individual, they have or should have had that experience where they hear the gospel of the kingdom of God and they have their response, right? Which should be to repent. And Jesus says to convert, right? This conversion is, again, choice. It's all choice. No one has to do it, but you're not the same person. You don't want to be the same person. You don't want to stay in the same person. You want everything to change. You just don't want it to be a case where you have this thing that you check off or say, I'm going to heaven, right? I'm no longer going to hell, which is the way I think we look at someone confessing, you know, that Jesus Christ is Lord or so-called salvation. Jesus speaks of eternal life, right? In a life that never ends, right? A Zoe that's eternal and never ends, that begins now and ends never, right? It continues to get gooder and gooder and better and better. This is the Zoe life that Jesus Christ is preaching. So he is preaching eternal life, but somehow we have taken it as escape from hell, okay? So he's saying that we convert, right? And this conversion is so vitally important because he says, if you do it, now I'm obligated to save you, right? If you look at him saying that in Matthew, beginning in Matthew, I believe he says it in Luke or Mark, and you can look at that. It's right around the parable of the sower. But he says, if you convert, now the obligation is that I have to heal you. Do you see that? So he's a king, and he's saying, if you become a citizen of my kingdom, now I have to heal you, right? Or I have to save you, right? So the reality is that we should begin here, right? We should begin here at the kingdom of God with the understanding or expectation that we understand, okay? That we have an understanding of the kingdom of God. And it's in that understanding that we begin having these flashes or revelations, right? We'd be able to see on the inside this great kingdom. And from that response, it fuels everything else, right? It drives everything else because now I have a desire, right? It won't let me go because now I've seen it, right? Now I may not see it all, but I've seen something that I can't unsee. So that drives me and fuels me in the kingdom of God. So again, this conversion is so vitally important. So when we're looking at it again, I'm saying to you, this may not be what you heard, right? Now, all of that should point you to the king, right? Because there's no way to the Father but through Jesus Christ, if that makes sense. So if you have a desire naturally for the kingdom of God and the things of the kingdom of God, then the only door, only way into his kingdom is through Jesus Christ. No man can come to the Father but be drawn by the Holy Ghost. And you can't get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. So you're going to find your way to Jesus and through Jesus because that's the way it is. So it's just natural at that point to recognize and accept that Jesus Christ was a man. He was born of a virgin. He is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He is the Son of God. He is the anointed, and that he was crucified, right? Unjustly, a righteous man, right? Completely righteous. And yet he was crucified for our sins with purpose. And that man being crucified, he died, right? So yes, he physically died and spiritually died. And he spent 3 days in hell for you and for me. And he took the keys of hell and Hades in his hand, and he took captivity captive. And that means that he presented the gospel to those people sitting in Sheol, I believe. I don't believe the people in hell heard it. Maybe they did too. I don't know. I don't want to overemphasize anything, but I know that if the people in hell heard it, then I know for a surety that the people in Sheol absolutely heard the gospel preached, right? So he's giving them the opportunity to hear the gospel, I believe, for the first time fully, or they never heard the gospel fully, got flashes of this gospel. And then he is allowing them to come out of Sheol, right? Leading them out of Sheol. And now they join him in heaven, right? So they're in, I believe, what he calls paradise or Abraham's bosom. And now they're going from Abraham's bosom, or Sheol, paradise, into now heaven for the first time, because these men were not living or existing in heaven. They were living or existing in the center of the earth, right? So they were resting in the center of the earth. So this is, again, deeper stuff, but I want you to know that there is a truth and there is a reality, right? So it's up to us to accept it or reject it. So if we accept the kingdom of God, then it's much easier for us to be able to accept what's presented by Jesus Christ. Okay, I hope that makes sense. So yes, he is the truth, the life, and the way. Absolutely. And how would you not say that he is your Lord, right? Your owner and your master if you are coming into his kingdom? That's the assumption when you go into a kingdom. When you enter a kingdom or you're born into a kingdom, you are now property of the king. That's it. You're property of the king, right? So you're saying you are a citizen of his kingdom. So what that means by default is that you are property of the king. Okay, so confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord should be normal and natural. Okay, I hope that makes sense. So with that being said, I encourage that you deal with that, grasp that, process, follow Jesus, confess that he is, his Lord. If you haven't, seek to be baptized, right? You can be baptized. There's so many places, right? You can be baptized. If you have a question about that, you can contact me. If you're in this area, I can baptize you, right? It's not that big of a deal, but you do want to go ahead and enter into the process. It's just a lot that goes into, I'm not going to get into baptism at this moment, but you do want to go ahead and actually do that. So with that being said, then this hope is so vitally important, right? So this capital H, capital O, capital P, capital E, this perfect hope that we receive that when we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? I believe the same thing with all caps faith, right? So because you have believed or had faith in Jesus, right? You must have faith in Jesus, but because we have the faith in Jesus, now we should have the faith of Jesus, right? And that is what we're given to be able to operate with in God's kingdom, is that we have this faith of Jesus Christ. It's now our faith that we operate in. So the connection between all caps hope and all caps faith is something that's important. It produces heaven on earth is what it produces, right? God is expecting for you to produce heaven on earth, right? The things that he has deposited in us are heavenly things that he desires to manifest. He wants it to manifest, okay? So as I'm dealing with some of these basic principles, I'm laying in the bed and I realize this. I realize that we have seen Jesus as being special or super, right? So we see Jesus, if we have accepted Jesus at all or acknowledged Jesus at all, we see Jesus being superhuman, right? Superhuman. That he is special human. Does that make sense? Now, here's the reality, and it hit me like a ton of bricks, so I'm going to make sure I share it, that Jesus, according to the eyes and expectation of God, is normal and natural. So when you look at Adam, Adam is the first model, the original model of the human being species, this human species. And in Adam is human. There are many things that we don't understand that Adam could function with and do that we're not told, but understand that if we were to understand those things, then based on our comparison, as far as comparing ourselves and other people, that we would have said that Adam was super. Does that make sense? That Adam was special. Now we get an opportunity to see it in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ comes and he's the second Adam. He is the last Adam, right? Not just a second. He's the last Adam. And he is the model of what God wanted for humanity. Jesus Christ is the model of what God wanted for humanity. This is so vital, right? So when I look at Jesus Christ, I'm not just looking at deity. I'm not looking at special. I'm not looking at super. I'm looking at standard. Does that make sense? He is the standard model that God wanted for you and for me. So casting out devils is normal. That's easy stuff, right? Laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover should be normal and natural, right? These things should be natural. Now, we should have never had sick. We should have never had demons. But to exercise these things and operate in these things should not be normal. I mean, it shouldn't be super. It should be normal and natural. So you got to pray to God that he allows us to be able to see it the way that he articulated it. We are as Christ is now, right? That's the way God says we are. We are as Christ is now. I thought about this scripture. I believe it's in, I'm not going to misquote it, but you can look it up. But Jesus says that we should do the works that he did, and even greater works than those shall we do, because he is going to the Father. So because Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of the Father, the expectation is not only that we would do what he did, but we would do even greater works than he did, right? Do you see that? So when we see that, then we saw Jesus as being so special that we couldn't hit that mark. And I've heard people talk about that, that we're not Jesus, only Jesus, and all of those types of things. Well, that's not what Jesus is articulating. That's not what God is articulating. The way that that God is articulating Jesus, and Jesus is articulating himself, is that Jesus is the minimum standard for humanity. He is what a human being is and what a human being was intended to be, okay? Now, I'm going to make this statement. It's not meant to be harmful, but I need you to understand the reality of what God has established and what he expects and how he views things. That Jesus Christ is the model, the standard, and what is normal. So any human being that is below or beneath that expectation is subhuman. Sickness is a subhuman manifestation. Disease is a subhuman manifestation. Sin is a subhuman manifestation. Does that make sense? Now, again, that may be hurtful for a person that has not confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord to say that you are subhuman, but I'm just telling you, this is a fallen state. It's a lower state than what God intended. If you saw a bird, an eagle specifically, and I saw eagles at the Cincinnati Zoo. Like they have a small exhibit where they have probably like 8 to 10 eagles that have been hurt in some way in the past. And these eagles don't fly, right? They just stand there. So they don't have any cage. They don't have anything keeping them in. They just can't fly because something unnatural happened. So now they can't fly. So anybody would look at these eagles and say that that is not natural. Now, for a person that has never seen an eagle fly, never seen pictures and pictures or images of an eagle soaring, then if their first experience with eagles was seeing these eagles in the zoo at this exhibit, then they would think that that is normal, that it's normal for a eagle to look more like a chicken and act more like a chicken than to act like an eagle with flies, right? So that's what we have as far as humanity. We've had our wings clipped, right? We've had things happen internally, right? Spiritually and soulish wise, our heart and our physical bodies, so that we function in a subhuman state. But the reality is the minimum required and standard in the kingdom of God is Jesus. So that's the minimum standard, right? So if we are not doing what he did and functioning like he functioned, then we are operating like subhumans, right? So again, this may be difficult for some people, but for me, this is where I am at. And I realize I have to make sure I bring myself into God, get into the shop, right? Bring myself in and allow God to work on me, right? Beginning with my mindset and the way I see things, because I have missed it. I have had a distorted view of myself, an image of myself, and I also had a distorted image of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my standard, right? When I see him, I see me. When I see whatever's going on in the Bible, whatever exploits that he did and things he did, the way he responded, the way he reacted, I should see me as a minimum standard, right? That doesn't mean that's my high mark. That is my minimum starting point standard in the kingdom of God, is to at least do that, right? At least expect to do those things and then allow the hope that's in me to be able to create images to see greater exploits, see much greater things, because Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father. So he expects me to do more. He's saying, go for it, right? It's not blasphemous to expect that. He's saying, go for it. He said, that's why I came. Okay. So I hope that went through well. Now, I said I wanted to do again more and be very intentional about sharing some things to make sure that you can build hope. So I'll go back and recount and revisit a couple things. One is years ago, this is back when I was in Louisville, Kentucky, and I was at a sink washing dishes. And it's amazing over some years how many wonderful things happened while I was sitting at the sink washing dishes. But I'm washing dishes, and probably a week or two before, I had a black lab dog, and he had been, you know, whatever, doing whatever outside in the yard, in the backyard. And he came in, and he had this growth, right, that started on his leg. I believe it was his left leg, okay, on the left hind leg. So it started out small, but then it got bigger and bigger, to the point where at that moment when I looked at him, he had come in from outside, and this thing was like I would say a softball. Yeah, it was like a softball. It had gotten really big, between a baseball and a softball size, maybe closer to a baseball size. But it was right up under his skin, and I could see this thing sitting up under it. I've been watching it, right? I was beginning more and more aggravated, you know, looking at it. But I sat there, and I've probably been listening to Andrew, knowing me at that time, I was listening to a lot of Andrew Womack, and I'm aggravated. And I think whatever happened, I was trying to deal with spiritual gifts and thinking about the spiritual gifts. And I remember him saying that you can know that the gifts are flowing when you have this love that feels like it's flowing out of you. So I'm dealing with that reality. And I love this dog. He's my dude, right? It was a really special dog for me. And I looked at him and I'm like, no, this is not going to work. So without missing a beat, I just looked at that thing. I commanded to die. I commanded to go. And I spoke to it like it's a person in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, I mean, this is one of the more miraculous things I saw ever in my life, that at the moment, at the instant that I said that, it's like I didn't even get the words out of my mouth good, that it's like he kind of shivered a little bit. He kind of shivered. And it's weird, but he kind of shivered. And then as soon as he shivered, then I saw this fluid that was in this thing, that it started to squirt. Now, this is disgusting if you want to think about it, right? But I'm just telling you what I saw. No, didn't. I'm not lying. It's like if you had water that filled a balloon and somebody pricked it with a needle, and then the fluid began to poke out. That's pour out. That's exactly what happened. I never touched the dog. So he's kind of shivering. And then this stuff starts to squirt out, and he's sitting there doing this kind of shiver, like he, you know, just kind of shaking a little bit as this stuff is pouring out of his leg, and it oozes out until it was completely drained out, as if somebody was squeezing it, and it completely drained out, and on the floor was this puddle of fluid, right? So I went over, I grabbed whatever to clean it up, I cleaned it up. And I looked at his leg, and there was a small hole, like, again, like somebody poked a hole in his leg, and it stayed that way for, you know, I guess the rest of that day. And then it healed up, and I could still see this pinhole, you know, kind of thing, and it kind of scabbed over. But that's the way it healed up. And he never had any issues ever again. I mean, that was absolutely crazy, man. Like, it absolutely blew my mind. I'm trying to think. I had a dog that I was keeping for a family member, and him and my dog were playing. They were, you know, wrestling or whatever. So they're out there in the backyard playing. That dog comes in and his eye is swollen shut. Now I'm like, oh snap! Now I'm keeping the dog for a family member, right? That this is my family member's dog, right? I go and look at the dog and his eye is swollen shut. So I say, what in the heck am I supposed to do? My family member is supposed to come pick the dog up, I believe, within a day. I'm like, I can't give this dog to this family member looking like this, right? So I waited for, you know, however long, maybe an hour or so. And I said, well, this ain't going to work. So I remember looking at that dog's eye, and I told his eye to be healed in the name of Jesus. I commanded it to be healed. I don't even think I laid my hands on the dog, right? I just spoke to it. And I'm telling you, within an hour, his eye was completely healed, right? The family member came to pick his dog up. He didn't even have no idea that nothing happened to the dog, right? So that's just some crazy stuff. I'm trying to see if I can think of something else. I want to make sure, again, I'm sharing some of these things. I have forgotten probably more than I even realized that I forget. Let's see. Who else? Oh, yeah, this is a good one. Okay. I had, and I can share this directly. My mother, she was in a car wreck. She was actually hit on the driver's side. My handicapped brother was on the other side. He's in the passenger seat by a transit bus. I think it was a small transit bus. Well, anyways, the car was totaled out. My mom was received damage. My brother's handicapped. He couldn't communicate anything. I pray that he wasn't hurt at all. But from that accident, my mother had this pain that she was dealing with. It was in her shoulder. Right? I believe it was her right or left shoulder. I think it was her left shoulder. And she was dealing with this pain. And I remember multiple phone calls that we had. And I had moved out. I was living probably about 5 or 6 minutes away. And she's complaining about how bad this shoulder hurts. And this night, we're on the phone. It's probably, you know, 8, 9 o'clock. It was dark. And she is on the phone and it's raining. It's a night where it's raining. And what has started to happen is that when it rained, it was like an arthritis type of thing going on, where she was in more pain when the rain would come. So she's nearly crying, or she was crying, one of the two. But it moved me. All I know is I jumped right in my car. I grabbed my oil. I grabbed some olive oil, which is funny, jumped in the car and sped right over to my mother's house, knocked on the door, came in, and I said, I'm going to pray for you, just like that. And I remember the scripture in James that said, if there are any sick among you, that you call for the elders of the church, and they will anoint you with oil, right? And that whole thing. Then I took that scripture, read that scripture, and I took this oil. Matter of fact, no, I did not. I didn't have my own oil. I grabbed the olive oil from her cabinet, right? Grabbed the olive oil from her cabinet, put it on my hands, and I laid my hands on her and I prayed healing. I prayed that shoulder be whole and that she be healed. Now, I'm telling you, me and her never talked about it. We can talk about it now, but I never recall her saying anything else about that. She was complaining about it all the time. I don't recall hearing anything else about that shoulder after that. And that was the first time that I laid hands on anybody. So just want to make sure, again, I'm building this thing up. Again, remember the super is natural in the kingdom of God. So I look forward to seeing you in another Super is Natural. Have a great day.